Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Alrighty, I dubbed it Scott today. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. This morning on Twitter, when I opened the app for the first time in a couple days, I said today's the day that Yankees management gaslights the Yankees fan base.
Pretty much.
Joy to the world, the end of season press conference. But this year it was more nothing than ever. I think because it's basically been the same song and dance every time they've been eliminated for the past 5 years.
I think it's funny because at this point, because it literally is the same situation, I feel like they're trying to avoid the same rhetoric so that we're not just like, oh, the headlines are the exact same thing we're saying. But in fact, they just distanced themselves from even the same rhetoric and actually said more of nothing than they ever have. I mean, a lot more of nothing. There was literally not. I mean, I'm scrounging for nuggets that came out of that that had any value at all.
One or two. Well, so actually, let's start with IKF and shortstop, because last year, after the 2021 season ended, the biggest takeaway from that press conference was Brian Cashman was very adamant in saying that shortstop needs to be addressed, if you remember.
Yes.
And I think a year later, the same is true. Shortstop needs to be addressed, but they didn't necessarily say it in those terms. But I think the biggest head scratcher or takeaway from this was the discussion around IKF. And apparently, I think Sweeney Murdy asked the question to Aaron Boone. That said, he was asking him about the report that IKF went to the Yankees asking for help on his defense and even asked to be moved to third base, okay? And the Yankees basically said, no, you're fine. Here are some metrics that say that we think you're fine. You're staying at shortstop. That, and Boone was kind of weird about it, kind of like tried to move on from the question as if it wasn't true or whatever, but he still acknowledged, like, yes, it was true. Very odd situation with IKF. Not only how it ended this season in the playoffs, getting benched and then starting again multiple times, but now this whole thing about, oh, he was asking. Like, if a player comes to you and says, I want to be moved positions, I'm sorry, that guy doesn't have confidence in his position. He's not going to, he can't possibly go out there and play well after that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's in fact how it went down and there was the reflection of IKF himself saying that, hey, I'm not at a level where I need to be, and I don't think I can get there, because that's essentially what you're saying if you're telling them that you need to change positions, right? It's like asking for help, which is the first step of getting better, right? In anything, asking for help. Okay, cool. You're acknowledging that you need to improve. But then if there's also the follow-up, and I don't know if there's was a lot of distance between these two conversations or if they happened back-to-back, which would be very weird, to say that, yeah, I should be moved to third base, understanding and knowing full well that there is a third baseman that also came over in the same trade and is committed to for another year. So that's where they kind of lose me on how that conversation happened and what the context of that conversation is. Because unfortunately, with the question and answer format that we have at the end of the season, there's a lot of context missing when it comes into like nuanced conversations like this, right? Like at what point did he ask this? Did something spur it on? Was Donaldson really struggling at that moment? Was he injured at that point? You know, what else are the details that surround that?
Yeah, when was this first reported? Because we didn't talk about it this season. And I feel like if this, we would have talked about this. So we either missed it or it just wasn't a big deal when it was discussed.
I didn't see it reported until, I didn't know about it until, I think it was it Andy Martino who reported, who said it during the press conference?
Sweeney is the one who I thought asked the question.
Yeah, I didn't know it until he asked Boone. And I was he said that?
It was reported mid-season. I don't remember seeing a report. Boone's reaction to the question kind of seemed like it maybe wasn't fully reported, like it was known, but it was...
It couldn't have gotten past all four of us in the middle of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, at the very least... This would have been a something on Twitter for a day that one of us would have caught, and it just wasn't.
Would have been a thing because everybody would have acknowledged that, like, oh, IKF agrees with everybody else. He's not good enough. And that would have been one of those, maybe that was just part of his moments, like, yeah, I'm going to get the haircut, tell everybody I'm a Yankees fan. And then also I'm going to use the common sense department, stand in front of my locker and say I'm not good enough, and then people can't yell at me.
And the thing with these press conferences is that every answer is basically a non-answer and just trying to move off the topic to the next question. So it's like saying as many words as possible with as little information as possible. And that's like what I feel like was even more so true this time around. So if we're like trying to pull nuggets out of this, like you really got to make some assumptions and read between the lines. Like Boone said the same rhetoric that we knew he was going to say, right? He liked their process. He was confident in their process. Like he thinks the team is close. Like all that bullshit he's been saying for the past five seasons, he's still saying, and that's not going to change because that's what he's there for. That's part of his job description is be Mr. Positive.
One of the things that they were asking, because they asked Cashman also about the process, and you know, not only was Aaron Boone asked about his process and his coaching staff and such, but then Cashman about Boone's process and the confidence they have with him. But one thing I thought was interesting is they did mention, and Cashman specifically talked about this, the approach to more contact, and that they addressed the approach to more contact and how at the end of the season, a lot, and this is not wrong. There's truth to this, but the guys that were brought over for that purpose were not playing at the end of the year and not playing in the playoffs. LeMahieu, Benintendi, two crucial elements of that lineup, and trying to create a little bit of a semblance of balance within the approach. So they were definitely he acknowledged that going into more contact was something that they had gone after, and then unfortunately it didn't work out because the guys weren't available at the end of the year. Even talking about Rizzo as well, but
Boone had they asked Cashman at the end of his press conference, I think it was Sweeney, about like how is the analytics department held accountable stuff along those lines. And I thought something that was really interesting was people who are ingrained in their process that are not willing to change are out. And he has more lately than he used to shown the ability to say, all right, we got to make a change here. Because if you remember, they didn't believe in lefties. They didn't believe in contact. They didn't believe in defense. They had 10 slow donkeys, as Luke Voigt put it, in the lineup. And then they changed. Rizzo was important. Benintendi was important. Gallo was important to get more balance in the lineup, whether that worked or not. So I thought that was interesting because I thought it was a good question.
Yeah,
he talked. Yeah, go ahead,
Scott. I was going to say one quick thing on that one. It was asked it was framed out in the way that the question was exactly what you just said, Logan, about the analytics department. But I'm wondering how much of what he said also goes into some of the guys on the coaching staff and like how long have they been looking at it? Because all I was thinking of that entire time, like to be very honest, was that Robbie Thompson is managing the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series right now. Is he one of the guys that was pushed out because he didn't do the things that you asked him to do?
I think because so. He was a Girardi guy. Yeah, he was a Girardi guy. So,
when I'm hearing what he's saying, I'm hearing, okay, you're stubborn, and if they don't according to the plan or what is deemed as the right change at the moment, there's a is that arbitrary? Is that like a subjective thing?
And it, changes. I think what to Logan's point, they are willing to make changes as long as there's analytics and information to support those changes, like getting more left-handed hitters, getting more contact hitters in the lineup, getting better defensively. And they did do a lot of those things to address those issues in the offseason, which is, I think, still a big reason why they had the best record in baseball through the first half of the season. Okay. So it's like it did work for a time. And yes, injuries did happen. Injuries are not an excuse, but of course, would the team have been better in the postseason with a healthy LeMahieu playing and a healthy Benintendi playing? Of course. But the team also still had those players for a large portion of the second half and played below 500 baseball for 3 months. So you can't just point to those two things as the only reason why the team
oh, for sure.
fizzled out in the end. And so my hope is that they don't point to a couple of injuries. He also mentioned, we were rehabbing our closer in the postseason. Yeah, also not ideal. Losing Michael King, not ideal. All of these things are not ideal. But like, if the team isn't deep enough to overcome them, then you didn't do your job fully, because all teams are going to have – no team is going to walk into October 1st baseball with the exact roster they planned in April. It's just like that never happens. That's never happened in the history of baseball. So injuries are going to happen next year too.
They will always happen. You're absolutely right. So it's more so, you know, when I'm hearing these guys talk, you know, I'm not listening for excuses. I'm listening for them to spit exactly what happened, and injuries did happen. So, I don't even think they're, necessarily using them as an excuse per se, but it's a reality. It did.
Yankees have beat Houston with a healthy LeMahieu and a healthy Benintendi?
No, probably not.
Do they win maybe one more game, two more games? Sure, I guess so. But like, I still think that I think the question was also asked, like, how do you close the gap between the Astros and you right now? And Brian Cashman admitted, like, the Astros are a better team. They were a better team going in. We were the underdog. I still think there's a gap to be closed, even on the Yankees' best day and the Astros' best day. Can I also scratch an itch real quick? That's something that bugged me. Why did Brian Cashman pretend he doesn't know what the three true outcomes are? What the fuck was that about? What purpose is that serving? Oh, you want to send a subtle FU to the guy who asked the question? Okay, fine. Like, you're going to pretend, Brian Cashman, after you've built a department of nerds, you've got an army of nerds at Yankee Stadium, you don't know what the three true outcomes are? Like talk about gaslighting the fan base.
That came about because of analytics. Yeah. Literally came about because of the new style and the new approach. So Cashman contract up on Halloween, right? Yeah, October 31st.
He's working for free right now.
He's working for free. He's got no contract. I thought that was interesting because they're, you know, hey, Cashman, do you have a contract? Well, no, I do not have a contract. Hasn't been brought up either. So usually when you want to hear communications about a new contract or if you have a job or not.
Be back.
When there's no communication, that's when.
No, he said there was communication. He said
not since October 31st about that. No, they haven't talked about it.
That's 5 years ago. He expressed interest. Expressed interest. And we looked before Ilya found that his last contract, the last time his contract was up, which was after the 2017 season. He didn't sign that contract until December 20-something.
Yeah. I think it's interesting with I know some of the scenarios that were thrown around in our chat as well is you know the potential of moving him up into a different role and bringing on a GM that would be under Cashman. Like, to me, that would satisfy what I want.
Why?
Honestly, because I think
Do you think Brian Cashman would hire an outside GM, or would it be a promotion from within? Or basically, if it's an outside hire, is it just a Brian Cashman clone?
I think if this were to happen, it would be a basically just like a pat on the back to Brian Cashman because you've been here forever, and it's him not getting fired. And I think they would go outside the building if that were to happen.
Do you think
if they went inside the building, someone? It would make no sense? It would make no sense. It's the same thing. It's the same.
Who would as long as Brian Cashman is still running the baseball operations, whether he's the president or the general manager or the viceroy of ball, whatever the hell you want to call him, nothing's changing in that organization. Yeah. He's the ball roy. He's the vice ball.
He's the ball roy.
If as long as he's there in a power position, nothing is changing.
I actually think something like that. Something like that would just be like, here, optics. You've been with the organization forever, gonna keep you within the organization, but we have to.
Do you know what that's doing? Do you know what that's doing? That is,
I think it would have cut his balls off if that were the case, actually.
No, it would not. He would be the boss still. That person, that general manager would report to Brian Cashman.
That is true, but Brian Cashman would be taking orders from whoever hires this GM.
He would be. I don't think it's happening. I don't think
it's happening. Yeah, but my point is, you're missing my point. I don't think it's just happening, first of all. But if it were to happen, it to me, and they brought in somebody outside the building, there's no way Brian Cashman's hiring that guy at that point. It's just a mirage.
Then Brian Cashman wouldn't agree to that. Brian Cashman wouldn't agree to that.
Maybe not.
No,
I think he wouldn't
agree to that because he
at least for another year to leave on his own terms.
He could get. He doesn't need to. He has no contract right now. The dude's not hurting for money. Okay, we don't need to go start a GoFundMe to have Brian Cashman be able to afford lunch every day. He could go find a job in baseball in 2 seconds, where he's the president, general manager, power of all baseball operations. If the Yankees aren't willing to give him that, he will go find that elsewhere. Yeah, I'm sure he has loyalty to the Yankees and the Steinbrenners, but ultimately, if they try and cut his power away, he's not going to be down for that. So if he moves up into a higher position, he's then making the decision on who's coming in for general manager. All that does is give fans another person to yell at.
Yeah, I don't see them. If that were to happen, though, the scenario of getting somebody from inside the organization wouldn't make any sense. So I don't understand why that would happen. The only reason that would happen, in my opinion, is that they would be going to someone outside the building. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? They talked about Donaldson and basically saying that
he's not old. That he got the better level of defense than expected.
So
and that he's still there. The player is still there.
Brian Cashman said that obviously the offensive production was not there this season. But he's confident, or he said there's no reason to think it can't come back because he was not dealing with an injury. And to me, those things don't make sense. It's like, if he was dealing with an injury, you can point to that reason why the production wasn't there. And you can assume if he's healthy next year, the production will be back. Okay, so you're saying he was 100% healthy, but he just was not good. So then why wasn't he good? Oh, maybe because he's old.
Because he's old. Maybe those fast twitch muscles that you need for hitting that are different for defense aren't the same. Maybe they're not. Maybe he's not able to swing that bat around. Maybe there's a lot of different mobility, a lot of different mechanics and things that you have to do physically on the offensive side with a bat than what you do defensively.
Another year older, another year slower next year. So I think there's a lot of reason to think that his offensive production is not coming back and not getting better next year. Could he have a better offensive next year? Sure. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you can't assume he's going to have a better offensive production next year. That's insane.
No, Father Time is dictating what's happening here. 100%.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Yankees definitely performed suboptimally. I think we learned that from getting swept in the postseason and also the end of season press conference. Maybe it's because they didn't have the right multivitamins every day. Scott, you still on the Athletic Greens train? You've been drinking it every morning?
Every morning. I go, you know what I did? I changed it up a little bit, and I like my difference, and it's really a small, very small difference. I went from 12 ounces of water to 9 ounces of water. Mm. And in fact, I think it tastes even better. So I think I was diluting it a little too much, actually.
Interesting. I like to add water because sometimes it can get, the bottom can get, little chunks and stuff. I like to add maybe 4 more ounces at the end, shake it up again, and get it down that way. But it honestly,
lots of shaking, like a shake weight. You know, just getting that thing
that's
going.
Right. And the shake weight. Not only are you getting all your multivitamins, but you're also getting a nice little forearm workout.
Yeah.
AG1 is a daily supplement that you drink first thing in the morning. It is packed with multivitamins, minerals, and nutrients that all work together to make you feel like your healthiest self. Some of the many benefits of Athletic Greens are that it supports mental clarity and alertness. This is why they recommend you drink it first thing in the morning before you have any food or any coffee or anything like that. Get all those. It'll allow the body to absorb all of the nutrients. It promotes gut health with pre and probiotics. It can give you better sleep quality and recovery. I actually cited this as a reason why I didn't feel like absolute crap during those late night playoff runs when I still had to wake up early with the kid every morning, had the Athletic Greens every single morning as well to sort of bring me back to life. It boosts your energy as well. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is trusted by athletes and health experts around the world. It tastes good too. As we just said, you can mix it with just water and it's enjoyable. Each serving costs less than $3, which is less than you're going to be spending on your average cup of coffee or an energy drink or anything like that. So go to athleticgreens.com/pinstripes and you get a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of AG1. When you go to athleticgreens.com/pinstripes. Thank you so much to AG1 for supporting the show. And I hope all of you out there will give it a shot because it's a really great product. what other things? Oh, I guess the judge stuff in free agency. So Cashman was non
that.
He pulled the non-comment. I'm gonna I plead the fifth a lot. What was the line that Mark McGwire used when he was testifying in front of Congress about steroids? I'm not here to talk about the past.
I'm not here to talk about the past. Yeah.
And then I'm not here to talk about the
whole
past.
Remembered situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cashman was a lot of non-comment about Judge, but obviously acknowledged that he bet on himself and that bet worked out. I think it's interesting that he brought up Steinbrenner a bunch and the fact that the decision ultimately lies with the owner in this, which Logan made the point before we started recording, basically is positioning himself for where if Judge is not re-signed, the blame is not on Brian Cashman. It is on Steinbrenner for not offering the most money.
Which is kind of fair.
But that's very obvious, right? That's like exactly what it is on the surface.
Extremely transparent.
The general manager makes decisions on personnel and who they should go after, whereas the people controlling the purse strings, the owner, is saying, okay, we can spend X dollars on X player, the ones you recommend. So I would say that that's the case on every single free agent that ever existed, with Hal and Cashman's relationship. So I don't think that's anything new. I think it's exactly accurate. Like if they're willing to go to the dollars that are going to take to get this Judge deal done, then they will have him because everybody knows they want him. Brian Cashman wants him, but at the end of the day, that's where he stops.
Ultimately, Brian Cashman's tasked with building the best baseball team within the budget that Hal Steinbrenner gives him. And it's up to Cashman then to allocate those dollars. And he might decide allocating too high of a percentage to Aaron Judge over the next decade is not setting up the team for long-term success. So yes, the counter argument to that is, Steinbrenner shouldn't have a budget. He should just be spending up and beyond whatever, like to build the best team. You should be able to get Aaron Judge and. But that's just not reality. So it's not a black or white thing where it's on Cashman or it's on Steinbrenner. It's on both of them if Aaron Judge is not a New York Yankee next year.
But they're not also the quote budget that he has to work within. Like, to me, that is outside of Aaron Judge. You got to get the Aaron Judge deal done. That's not going to be within your allotted amount to go fix things and move things.
But apart. It's all like, factored in.
A separate thing. Yeah, but
it's separate. It's like if you have to offer less because if you can't extend yourself for a Judge contract because you've spent the resources that you have elsewhere on the team and not spent them well in certain cases, like you're spending $20+ million on Josh Donaldson, you're spending $10+ million.
But those don't go into signing Aaron Judge. Maybe the next Josh Donaldson, or maybe the who they're going to go after outside of that. But to me, you get the main fish, you get the main course, and then you build around it. But that's not working capital, basically. The working capital is going to be the conversation that happens after Aaron Judge is either signed or not signed.
These GMs, they get their budgets and they got their contracts that are, 5 to 20 million a year, and they're fitting them into that. This Aaron Judge, if he doesn't fit into that, the GM is not just saying, oh, well, we tried. You go to they're going to their owner. It's a separate thing outside of the budget. Granted, it has to fit into the budget, and that's why an owner may say no, but
the conversation is not on him. The conversation here starts and ends with Aaron Judge, because if there is no Aaron Judge, then you have to completely rethink that conversation. If there is an Aaron Judge, well, you have an idea of what it's going to take to get him. Then you can identify what extra dollars are going to be available within the capacity of what is going to be spent. But at the end of the day, like, it starts and ends with Aaron Judge.
Absolutely,
there's no bones about it.
I still think that whatever team offers the most money is where Aaron Judge is going to sign. But part of me cannot forget how it was handled on opening day this year and what Brian Cashman said sitting there in front of the media, basically airing out the exact contract that they offered him and Judge declined it, said his, and so like how that all went down, if Judge ends up signing somewhere else, part of me is going to think, well, that's a factor here. Judge was Cashman rubbed the wrong way there.
Cashman was asked about that today. And he said, Sweeney again, because, he asks the best questions, about that.
He also knows things that people don't know, which is great.
Yeah, clearly. If that created some extra tension with Judge and Judge's agent. And he said, well, no, he said, when we were negotiating the final 2 weeks of the offseason, 3 weeks of the offseason, and all the different offers were going back and forth, I made that clear that it was going to be that I was going to publicize it just simply for the fact that it would be out there anyway. And then he looked at Sweeney and said, do you think it would be there? Do you think it would be out? And he said, yeah, I think it would be out, but it's just so unlike you. And he said, I understand. He said, but it just didn't make sense for me to just hide it. I told them that I was going to publicize the final offer, accept it or not. So okay. It wasn't caught off guard. He said, I never got a call from Judge's agent saying, why would you do that? It was totally what they knew I was going to do. Could they be sour about it behind the scenes? I guess so, but.
Well, you can also look at the timing of it to me. So if you communicated that this was going to happen and we were going to make it public because someone's going to find out it's going to get leaked anyway, so we want to control the narrative a bit. To me, it was more about when it happened also. I mean, like, yeah, the negotiations went all the way up to the last second, and then opening day, we're talking about this. Like, what? Why?
An hour before first pitch.
Yeah, the timing of it was more so the biggest question mark. Not even so much that it was him talking about it, because I agree, it's gonna get out there one way or another. Like, that number and the dollar amount and the years are going to get published in some capacity. So get in front of it. Like, I get that. And if that was communicated between the parties, then I got no problem with it. More so the timing. The timing was fucking weird. The timing was weird. We're all like fired up for opening day. And then all of a sudden Cashman's coming out here and be like, well, we tried our best. This is what we did. Just so you guys know, wasn't us. We did this. It felt like that. It felt like a scapegoat press conference.
Yes. That was the vibe.
And that's what the problem was to me.
Let's not also forget that the real opening day was rained out. So it was like a day that wasn't supposed to be the deadline. The deadline was 24 hours earlier than they actually were talking about it. Yeah, the whole thing went down was weird. I still think they offer the most money judges in New York Yankee. It's forgotten about. He was pretty stern in the fact that they're going to be picking up Luis Severino's option.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged that Rizzo does have an opt-out, but he kind of talked as if he's going to be back. So I don't know if Cashman has got indication from Rizzo that he's not opting out, or that even if he does opt out, they're going to make it a priority to re-sign him. It's just like Cashman seemed very confident that Rizzo is going to be back.
I think that that is one of the – Rizzo is one of these pieces that's we can't over or underthink, because he and Judge clearly have a very good relationship. If one of the two of them is not on this team next year and – You know that they're talking behind the scenes. I think that there's a direct tie between the two of those guys too. Like if Rizzo, if maybe he's going to wait to see if Judge is staying or not. And I could see him, maybe not wanting to be here. Maybe he wants to opt out at that point if Judge isn't here. But
well, I think he's going to
opt out. It's a big domino, man. No pun intended.
Rizzo had a good enough season to opt out and get more than a 1 year, whatever it is. What's his option for, like 1 year, $16 million, right? Yep. Like something he can like get that. More than that on the free agent market.
Just more years, he's getting up there in age is what it comes down to.
But he could also opt out and then they renegotiate for a longer term contract. Like that could be an opportunity as well. And again, I think a lot of that is tied
to 1 year. So think about it. When is he going to have more value, this offseason or next offseason? On the free agent market.
Risk. Now.
This offseason. Right.
So you opt out.
They might do what they did with Chapman, where Chapman said, I'm going to opt out unless
that's
you resign me for another year or two.
Right.
And they just say, all right, no problem. I mean, yeah. Did that work out? No, but I mean, I still get why the Yankees did that in that spot. It was the logical thing to do. Yeah, you've been here, we'll give you one more year.
Did I see that Chapman got a DUI?
I think that was a fake.
Jim Bowden of The Athletic reports that Rizzo's planning to opt out.
Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
Cool. So. I mean, again, like that doesn't mean he's leaving, though.
I agree.
But I think a lot of it is tied with what happens with Judge. So, I mean, it's obviously, this is not something that everybody in the world doesn't know, but it's behooved them to figure out this thing with Judge as soon as humanly possible. Because if this thing keeps going and going and going, it's gonna be fucking ugly, man. It's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be ugly in the media. It's gonna be ugly as far as timing, especially if we start seeing people start signing before it isn't solidified. That would have been options if he were not, coming back. So them figuring this out and identifying what is a dollar more than anybody else is asking so that they can hit that is so very important.
But Judge has made it a point that he's going to hit the free agent market. So he's going to be wined and dined by multiple teams. So even if the Yankees are aggressive, he's still going to go to the Giants. He's still going to go to the Dodgers. He's still going to go to the Red Sox. That all takes time. So this is going into December, whether we like it or not.
We got to hope that it goes the way of the Gerrit Cole negotiations, where Cole was wined and dined by everybody. I mean, he might have had his heart set on the Yankees or not, but if you read the reports on it, the Yankees essentially negotiated against themselves. I mean, they were over $30, $40 million in total value, more than the Angels, who were the next bidder, but they were bidding against themselves because they weren't going to be outbid. So you almost got to hope that they're just going to treat it like this, like, we need to get this done now, we don't care what it takes, and it is what it is. Gerrit Cole was similar age, and he wasn't even their guy. It's actually a similar situation when you actually think about it. I know one's a pitcher, one's a hitter.
Except for the fact that they already offered the man a contract at the beginning of the year, and there was a line in the sand. Yeah, I get it. It makes it unique in that sense because they've already identified what the value is over the X amount of time. And now, I mean, at the end of the day, really, does 1 year change your outlook on what Aaron? No. I mean, like, his numbers were tremendous, but we all knew he was a great player. He had an unbelievable year and outdid what we all expected. But it's not like I don't think change what we think of him as a player. He's still the very, very good guy that we thought he was, and worth the contract that he's going to get. So, I don't know how much actually changes.
Historically, especially under Brian Cashman, the Yankees have treated their own homegrown free agents differently than they treat outside free agents. They are willing to offer, they're willing to bid against themselves for outside free agents, but have not been the same for inside free agents. They're certainly more critical, and it almost seems like they try and remain like in the leverage position over their own homegrown free agents and have them sign for maybe slightly less than what the market value would dictate.
What they makes did you that, say that?
They would they be did, very stupid if they tried to do that.
They did that with Jeter. They did that with Jeter when he signed his 10-year contract. They did that with Robinson Cano. They have not done that with other free agents. Well, they'll offer Jacoby Ellsbury $150 million. And you're sitting there like, what was the next highest bid for Jacoby Ellsbury? Was it even $80 million?
So, what was the situation with A-Rod when he opted out in 2007?
He negotiated directly with Steinbrenner.
And he just said, I want to be here. And Steinbrenner said, I want you. And that was how that went.
Basically, what do you want? Here's a blank check. He's not a homegrown Yankee, though.
No, but I mean, he was a Yankee who opted out. I know it's a different situation. I'm just trying to think of stars of his caliber that signed contracts after beating you. You know what
My point is, I don't think that the Yankees are going to bid against themselves for Aaron Judge. I think they're going to try and get him for at market value and no more.
They already tried to do that. They're going to have to bid against themselves because that's what that is the
they're not going to situation. They're not going to. They're not going to offer him.
They are, because they're already bidding against themselves because they already put a cost out there. They already put a dollar amount out there. So yes, they are. In fact,
yeah, but now that goes away. Throw that dollar amount out. That dollar amount is nothing.
I know it goes away. It absolutely goes away.
When other people start offering them contracts, then they're bidding against other people.
But they've already established what their determination of what a long term, it's not, again, like this year was great, but does it really change what a team wants from this guy for 8 to 10 years?
No,
it shouldn't change what you think of him as a player. It's what we thought. So yeah, he went out and did it.
So then you're saying they're not going to offer him any more than what they offered him on opening day? That's asinine.
You're right. It is asinine, but they're then bidding against themselves because they've already established what they believe is the fair market value.
As crazy as it sounds, I don't think that what it would have taken to sign Judge on before opening day, call it $300 million is what he was looking for. I don't know. We don't know. I don't think it's actually that different from what he's going to expect now. The probability that he gets it is just higher. That's the only difference.
We know what it's going to be. It's going to be who is the highest paid right fielder right now? Mookie Betts? It's going to be Mookie Betts contract plus.
The highest AAV is Carlos Correa. So Judge is going to ask for Carlos Correa AAV for 10 years. That's what he's going to
want
ask.
The years, and he's going to want, because the best contract was 10 years, 10 right? years.
Do you think a team gives him 10 years at 31 when they see Pujols, they see Miguel Cabrera, they see these guys that it doesn't work, and teams have been less prone to doing it
now? I think one team will give him 10 years.
Pujols is pretty damn valuable at the end of his career right there for the
I think Judge finds one team to be stupid. There's always one stupid team.
It's going to be the Giants if it's one. Maybe. If they do it.
Maybe it's the Yankees.
I could see the Dodgers doing it. I could see a multiple team. I firmly believe that there are multiple teams that will eat the last 3 years of that contract and not think about it because they believe that they can win something in the front and they will gamble. Because if you win something in the front, none of it matters. That's the gamble. So you're looking at a 10th year, 8 to 10 years. If the difference is between 8 to 10 years and you have to go that 10th year, again, they're betting on the fact that they're going to win within the first five. Because if you don't, you're fucked.
Yeah, that's every
phrase.
But that's for everybody, no matter if it's an 8-10 year contract. You got to win within the first five. Everybody knows that.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man, because I don't think it's going to be crazy higher than what was given to him.
That's going to wrap this up. Great end of season press conference. Really enjoyed it. It's just so much fun to listen to.
Really long.
If you guys, so long for so little information.
Yeah.
If you guys have not already listened to the Bernie Williams interview, please give that a listen. It came out on Monday. It was a super crazy, surreal experience to be talking to Bernie Williams. I don't know if I've ever been nervous going into a podcast interview before, but I was definitely a little nervous going into that one. obviously Bernie is a more high profile player than anyone we've ever interviewed, but he's also a hero, a
guy that was like, you know, an
idol. So it's like, you know, I think we had Lucas Licky on the pod earlier this year, you know, doesn't really have the same.
You just compare Bernie Williams to Lucas Licky.
I said, doesn't have the same cachet. So anyway, we'll be back at you next week. We've got some fun things planned for the off season. We're going to be doing our annual general manager episode sooner than later. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys for watching. This was up streaming on YouTube. If you guys are listening to it and you want to go check out the video versions, we were doing streaming during the postseason. Had a lot of fun doing that. So go check the YouTube channel out and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.